Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a story called What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger. Now this is from a collection of stories called 54 Sleepless Nights. It's written by Tobias Wade. Links will be in the description of this episode if you'd like to support this author and the many stories that he's written and allowed me to read. It's very much appreciated. If you do buy yourself a copy, let me know because I'd love to say thank you on behalf of him. Anyway, let's get started. The will to power. That's all my boyfriend Jake ever talked about. Self-discipline, self-mastery, self-overcoming. As though he was his own arch-nemesis, a constant battle against himself that could never be won. I thought it was pretty admirable at first. Okay, well, if I'm being honest, his incredible abs were what impressed me first. But it was that underlying spirit and dedication to his workout routine that made them possible. Jake was obsessed with this philosopher named Nietzsche. It was almost like a religion for him, complete with a little shrine of his books and a bobblehead doll that he meditated in front of every morning at 6 a.m. Jake was never satisfied with himself, no matter how hard he tried. He'd hate himself for ever eating a piece of junk food or candy, and he'd immediately force himself to do push-ups if he ever slipped up. He was always reading or studying for med school, or listening to audiobooks in the car, angry at himself if he ever felt like he was wasting his time. We couldn't even watch a movie together without him exercising through it. "Life isn't supposed to be comfortable," he told me once. "Only weak people want comfort. It's supposed to hurt. And the more you can make it hurt, the stronger you'll become for enduring it." I tried to be as supportive as I could, but it got pretty difficult at times as I watched how agitated and restless he'd become whenever we spent too much time together. I could see how important all these improvements were to him, though. And all my friends were so jealous about how perfect he seemed. If he could try so hard all the time, then who was I to complain or hold him back? It started getting worse when he took the MCAT admissions test and didn't do as well as he'd expected. He berated himself constantly, calling himself lazy and stupid and weak. I couldn't stand the way he spat the word weak, like it was some unforgivable sin against God. He started sleeping less, waking up at 4 a.m. now and starting every day with an icy cold shower just to prove to himself that he could take it. And whenever I began to question his behavior, however subtly, he'd flash that endearing smile of his and say something like, "But I'm doing it all because I love you, so I can take care of you, so I'll be good enough for you. Aren't you proud of me for working so hard?" And of course, I'd say I was already proud of him, but it was never enough. Then came the day when I caught him running a razor blade between his fingers. I screamed to see the blood, and Jake panicked too. Like he was embarrassed to be caught like that. He said he was punishing himself for having taken a night off from studying. But he was only doing it because he wanted to train himself to be better. And he only wanted to be better because he loved me so much. On his knees, blood running between his fingers, he clung onto my legs, repeating over and over how much he loved me, how much he needed me, and how dark the world was without me. He confessed how desperately afraid he was that I'd leave if he didn't get into med school, and he made me promise to keep encouraging him to try harder, no matter what. And if he could put himself through all that discomfort for me, then I must be able to endure it too if I left him back. Having him need me like that made me weak, although I'd never admit that to him. So I looked away and pretended everything was all right, because he loved me, truly and completely. And if it ever got too bad, that love would be enough to make him stop. I thought things were going to get better after that. Jake started paying me a lot more attention, constantly being affectionate and cuddling up to me. I kept asking if he felt like he was wasting too much time with me, but he reassured me that I was the most important thing in the world to him. He said then that he didn't even care if he got into med school anymore. As long as he had me, nothing else mattered. I vividly remember the night I was falling asleep in his arms as he stroked my hair. He was whispering 1,000 sweet nothings, how much he loved me, needed me, and then hidden amidst the other words slipped, "Losing you is going to be the most painful thing in the world." Half asleep, I mumbled that he was never going to lose me. "Shh, no, no, I will," he whispered. "And it's going to hurt, but that's okay because it's supposed to, because what doesn't kill me makes me stronger." I felt his arms tightening around me, but I was still so sleepy and wasn't quite registering what he was saying. "I was so weak to think giving up easy things like junk food and warm water could make me strong," he whispered. "I don't need those like I need you, though. No, there is no strength like giving up the thing you love the most." I was fully awake now, although I didn't move as his arms tightened around my neck. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Even when it became harder to breathe, I thought he just loved me so much and he didn't realize how physically powerful he had become. By the time I started to kick and squirm, it was already too late. That's even better. I want you to fight back, Jake whispered, his biceps bulging and trembling as the pressure increased. I was choking and gasping, but I couldn't physically overpower him, and knowing he wanted me to try made it so much worse. I lay still for as long as I could, until I felt the hot, wet tears running down his face, land on mine, and knew that he really was going to kill me. Then my body started to flail and spasm on its own, a desire to live too deep and powerful to control. My fingers dug into his arm, but he only grinned like he enjoyed the pain. The grip tightened after every shallow breath, like a boa constrictor, until my throat had closed down to a pinhole.
Please,
with the last of my air, I want you to beg. I want you to make this as hard on me as you possibly can. His breath was hot as his tears on my face. Terror and pain and ecstasy all competing as his features twisted between flickering emotions. I couldn't breathe, couldn't get out. No one was going to hear me or save me. I couldn't fight him, couldn't reason with him. My vision was starting to swim and I thought I was going to pass out when suddenly his grip slackened, just enough for me to draw another breath. I said, beg. He almost shouted, spittle flying into my face along with tears.
You're wrong. You don't love me,
I gasped.
I wouldn't do this if I didn't love you more than anything, he snarled. You love yourself more, and you'd never do this to me. If you really want to be strong, if you really want to destroy the thing you love the most, then destroy yourself and let me go.
I didn't expect it to work, but it did. He started smiling and then laughing, throwing his head back in a savagely maniacal way. Then he rolled me away from him and grabbed his keys and wallet, left without another word. But I could hear him laughing all the way down the hall of the apartment building. Laughter sick with heaving and coughing as though his whole body convulsed with every cackle. I rushed up to lock my door the moment he had gone, but he never came back. I don't know what happened to Jake. I made it a point to never look, afraid of what he might have done. I hope that he learned to love himself, but if he didn't, then I hope at least he never again lied and convinced himself that he was capable of loving someone else. That's the end of this little story. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, let me know your thoughts. I do read the comments and I do try to reply. If you'd like to come hang out with us, there's a Discord available. And if you'd like to support Stories After Midnight, there is a Patreon available too. I appreciate all of you who are patrons. And I just appreciate you for listening, because without listeners, there would be no channel. So we're all in this together. Anyways, I appreciate you for choosing this story. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Maybe we'll see you in the next one.